What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Hardworking Happy Hour. I'm Sean.
And I'm Catherine, and we'll be breaking down all things trades, entrepreneurship, and turning your creativity into a passion career.
And we have a special guest today. We have Mr. Anthony Lombardo.
How is everyone?
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's been
first,
a minute.
Second time guest.
I know. It's so exciting.
It's a repeat
and
role.
What have you been up to since we last seen you?
Mostly just building decks and patios.
Really?
Yeah. Knocked a few out of the park.
We did. I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And we just got back from Deck Expo.
We did. In Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Basically, the whole team went. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. Why don't we break that down?
Yeah, we can break it down. How do you want to break it down?
I don't know. First off, let's talk about what we're drinking today.
Oh, yeah. We're drinking coffee.
We're drinking coffee.
It's coffee. 9 a.m.
On Monday. We got back from Deck Expo Thursday, really Friday morning around 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And we decided, you know what? I think we're all sick of seeing each other. Let's push the podcast till Monday morning. Here we are. Monday morning. That's why the episode's getting uploaded a little bit late, but
better late than never.
Better late than never.
It's uploaded.
That's what I always say.
It's uploaded. Not yet, but as people listen to these words, it will be.
It's buffering.
It's buffering right now. All right, so, Ant, what was your favorite part of the expo?
Favorite part, I think, was meeting everybody that I talked to on social media. I think there was a handful of guys that I've been talking to for about maybe a year and a half, that I never got a chance to actually meet. So meeting them was a huge, huge part. Just rapping about work.
Yeah, sure. Talking shop. Catherine, what was your favorite part?
I hate to be cliche, but like the same thing. It's the people. I love seeing old friends, meeting new friends, talking to people about decks when you wouldn't really have like the opportunity to talk to people about decks and, you know, your regular life.
Can't really talk about decks at Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly.
Nah, nobody cares. Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good time. We went out a couple times. We walked the expo a couple times. It was a good time.
It's cold.
Yeah. And the thing that I think is pretty funny is, like, you talk to these people all the time on social media, mm-hmm. and you feel like you get a sense of who they are and everything, but I feel like when you meet them in person, sometimes you vibe with the people more than you expected or a little bit less than expected.
Yeah, true.
So it's like interesting to meet all these people and then like some people you just hit it off with and you're like, this person I'm going to be talking to like all the time. we're going to be having daily phone conversations. I think that's definitely the coolest thing about it. Yeah. I don't think we really saw any new products that were like really
nothing stood
blew
out.
Me away.
Yeah, I guess not really.
Not really. It sounded like you had something. Did you see anything?
Well, I was going to say that retract stuff. That was probably the coolest thing I saw.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. Our boy...
Lior?
I think so, yeah. Hope we said that right. He's probably not listening. But yeah, retractable pool covers. That was pretty wild.
Turn your pool into a deck. Turn your deck into a pool.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
That was pretty cool.
Pretty expensive, but he's out on the West Coast where everything's like $1 million. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's going to sell tons of them. But, I guess that's enough for a recap. It's kind of the same as the HNA recap.
Yeah.
You get to meet the people. It's just a really cool opportunity to go and talk shop with people that are like-minded, have the same goals. And I think you leave there feeling motivated and inspired. Would you agree?
100%. You feel motivated to keep pushing forward because these guys, like, they tell you, like, oh, Ant, you're such an inspiration. You're such an inspiration. And I'm like, listen, man, we do the same thing.
You know,
we're both doing the same thing here. But then you're like, oh, man, if these guys really watch what I do and look at what I do as meaningful, then, man, I got to start doing more.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like a father
settle.
Figure in this industry. You're a father figure to me, I'll tell you that much. What do you think? Did you leave feeling inspired, motivated? Fueled.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Once again, am I fueled by vengeance? Of course I am.
Yes.
As we talk about this podcast. Just kidding. A little. But yeah, I am.
Mostly not kidding. You are fueled by vengeance. People wrong you and you will you will remember it
I
and
will.
You will.
I will and I do. So.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was great. And I it always does. These shows always do kind of reinvigorate the
soul.
The soul. And it's, you know, it's just fun.
Shock.
So yeah.
Boom.
Yep.
A little shot.
So I'm ready to hit it hard this week and do all these things that we always talk about. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple things that we want to talk about this week are, I think it's very timely, and we got asked about it a lot, both at HNA and at Deck Expo, about working through the winter and whether it's worth it, what are the pros and cons of it, how do you do it, how do you prepare so that, you know, you can operate on site and not be held up by the freezing ground, all that kind of stuff. And also, we want to get to a point where everyone within the business has a little bit more of a defined role. That's something that we've kind of slacked on a little bit. Everybody just kind of like does a little bit of everything. Everyone's just kind of like getting scrappy out there. And I think we're at a point where that's not super efficient. We have enough people now. I think I'm still sort of in the mindset of like when I was just starting out and it was just a few of us that like, everybody just does everything. And I think we're at a point now where we can have more defined roles. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. What do you think?
I think it helps. I think it just gives everybody a chance to really know what their role is for the company, to where you can start investing time to be better at that. When you don't really know what your role is, you're like, oh man, like, does he need me to focus more on this, focus more on that? I really don't know. I'm just not going to focus on anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something that we have talked about on the podcast before between me and Catherine, having more defined roles in like the business sense, and that's something that we're still working on to like really delegate those important duties and have them assigned to a certain person. So it's just like, I think alleviates a lot of miscommunication between like, oh, I thought you were going to do this and I thought you were going to do that. It's like, that's just confusing. It's not efficient. So I think to a certain extent, there's always going to be that element of like jumping in to help with something else and doing a little bit of everything. But for the most part, like 95% of the time, everyone should know like what their role is, what they do. And that's what we're going
to
talk about.
And what decisions to make.
What decisions to make.
The hardest thing is to make the decision.
And the worst thing to do. You know what the worst decision is?
Not one.
Exactly. Not making a decision. Indecision is worse than a bad decision. Because if you make a bad decision, you say, okay, that was wrong. Let me fix it. Let me do the other thing. Yeah. If you just stand there and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do.
No decision was
made. Nothing gets done. And then you still have the opportunity to make the wrong decision. So you're really just in the hole.
Just prolonging it.
You're just prolonging it. And I'm guilty of that a lot of times. But trying to get better at it. Like we all are.
Of course.
Of course.
No one can see your finger guns if you're this is an audio podcast.
Well, yeah, we started in Vegas doing finger guns a lot. Pew, 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 pew. It's pretty fun. So try that out. And if you're watching the video on YouTube, you know, you can get some inspiration from us on how we do it. Yeah, watch out. Guns are blazing. All right, let's talk about working in the winter. I feel like you have some good insight on this because you were the one that was really like, let's do it. Let's push through.
I mean, I never saw a reason why to stop working in the winter. I can understand, sure, weather, right? It's cold, snow. You battle all the elements. But for me, it was just like, take the time and the money and prepare into like the right gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just work a little bit slower. You're not going to... you got to understand, like, yeah, you're not going to frame a deck in a day. It might take a day and a half. You know, things are, you're colder. Your body's not loose. The wood's stuck together. You got to break it apart. You might have to do a little bit more prep work. So I never saw a reason why to stop. Sure, slow down, but never stop. So I made that happen. I made sure we didn't do that.
And for us, it got to a point where everybody is on salary. So that was something that was always important to me, that like, that's when you'll potentially lose employees. If you're just like, oh, well, there's no work all winter. It's like, okay, well,
I'm only getting 20 hours. Come on, Sean.
Yeah. Like they gotta go like find another job part time or whatever. And then it's like spring comes around. They're like, well, I've been working this new job all winter. I'm not going to come back to doing what you do. So that was always something important to me, to make sure that everybody can rely on like a steady paycheck every week, even throughout the winter. So as we got more employees, it became more important to stay working, because we used to do it when it was just two or three of us, and we would take maybe 6 weeks off, and it was still hurt a little bit. It was still a little, I had to really prepare for it and save up and make sure that we weren't going to run out of money. But now that it's five of us and, you know, everybody's on salary, everyone's making a decent wage, it's too expensive for me to do it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, and I feel there's no reason for us. Like I said, never to stop. Sure, we slow down. Yeah. Like that six-week project might take 8 to 9 weeks now.
Yeah.
But at least we're still pushing forward and, you know, the money's coming in.
Yeah, producing something.
Yeah.
What's your, tell them your rule, though. What's your rule, your weather rule?
My if anything's falling from the sky, we out.
Yep. And now you're going to be the foreman on site. Like,
so I get to make that decision?
I've been telling you for like a year and a half. Like,
not you get to. You have to.
Yeah. We're in the van, and you're like, what are we doing? I'm like, eh, how many times have I told you? Like, you're out there. If you want to stop, just stop and say, all right, hey, Sean, we're done. I'm in the van. I don't know how.
If it's raining, snowing, or
I can't see out the window. Like,
I think with the winter, we talked about it a little bit ago about, you know, when you start going through your little inventory of projects, you know, find the ones that are like more favorable for the winter to try to like schedule them then. Sure, yeah. I know it's not as easy as just doing that, because some people want their project done this time, that time. But if that's available, like that might help out. Like, oh,
yeah,
a smaller deck project with minimal pavers, like that's a good winter project.
Mm-hmm.
Instead
Definitely.
Of like, oh, this project has 2,000 square feet of pavers. Yeah, let's do it in February.
Yeah.
Like, that's not
a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah. And that is something that's important to, like, think about. Depending on where you live and your climate, working through the winter can present a lot of challenges.
Sure.
The last 2 years around here, it hasn't been too bad.
No, we're very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. We've had very mild winters, but the only thing that really holds us up, so now that we're doing helical piles for footings on the decks, like, it's no problem at all. The top couple inches of the ground might be frozen. You might have to break that up a little bit, but then as soon as you pierce through that,
good,
boom,
go.
They go in like butter. So not having to do concrete has helped us a whole lot. And then as long as we can just plan around the weather, so we might have a six-week project.
Yeah.
A portion of that is a paver patio. That can be difficult because if the ground's frozen,
it's really hard
to dig it out, get your base in and all that kind of stuff. So as long as you're watching the weather and we can coordinate, okay, it's going to be kind of mild this week, the ground's not going to be frozen, let's dig, get our base in, and then as soon as that base is in, we can just lay the pavers whenever.
Yeah,
it's just kind of ready to go. So we have to be more mindful of that. But I think besides those things, it just kind of sucks because
it's cold. Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you have the right gear, like I'm all about the under layers.
Yeah, a good base.
Under Armour, my Under Armour leggings, Under Armour top, mm-hmm, and then sweatshirt jacket. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I've never.
I'm fine.
I mean, there's times where you get cold.
The hardest thing's fingers.
I was gonna say that's the thing that gets me every time is the fingers. Yeah. What do you do about your fingers?
I mean,
you need those.
fingers are one. Yeah, you wear gloves, but some. I don't
know.
Yeah,
I usually take those off sometimes.
I take them off most of the time. It's just being mindful of the weather. Looking at the wind chill. For me, the only thing that bothers me on a very cold day is my face. But that's why you see I always have that face mask.
What do they call that?
Up.
Yeah, a gator.
Turtle fur. Baklava.
No, balaclava.
Oh, that's a candy or something.
Baklava, yeah. Oh, I love baklava. That's so good. Yeah, and
did
I think...
Did you call it a turtle fur? What's that?
That's a brand. It's turtle fur.
Is it?
I've never heard of that.
Like, how turtles, like, yeah, their head is just popping out a little bit. anyway.
Anywho.
Anywho.
And then another thing that I want to make sure I say, too, you got to make sure your material is, like, off the ground.
Yeah.
Make sure it's covered if you got, like, a big snow coming. Because it's a lot easier just to, like, rip off a tarp and then your material's dry instead of, like, oh, the first, like, few layers of deck boards are frozen. You're pushing snow off of it.
Yep.
So stuff like that. There's a lot more prep work involved.
One thing that's really fun, though, about working in the winter is I get to bust out that flamethrower. Oh, yeah. I remember one project, we were using it to dry out the lumber. I was basically cooking the lumber so we could stain it. Yeah.
The only time I remember you really going ham with it was that backyard project on the concrete slab.
Yeah, where I was trying to melt all the snow.
Yeah.
It took so long to do it.
Yeah. I just remember sitting there watching you do it.
It was fun, though. Anyway, so one thing that's really nice. So I talked to a couple people this week, and one guy, I forget what his name was, but he's in Oregon, and he said, I take like 2 months off. Take my trailer or whatever, go down to Florida to a campground.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
No?
To me, that
sounds awesome.
Like, I don't quit on my roots.
Wait, like, he works down there or he just goes?
No, he just goes and chills. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Seemed pretty awesome. And he works by himself all the time. So, like, he's just like, it's only me, so.
I mean, I get it.
I just break it down, go down to Florida. He was, like, maybe a little bit older, maybe, like, I don't know, his 40s or something. But that seemed pretty chill.
I guess.
Maybe we can do that one day. I don't know. We got to plan a little
together?
Better. Yeah, everybody.
I'll stay home.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess that wouldn't really work out. We'd need a pretty big trailer.
Yeah. I don't think we can all fit in the van.
Probably not.
Not enough seatbelts.
Not enough seatbelts in that thing. Yeah, but I feel like that's very timely to talk about because today it's pretty cold.
It's cold. Very cold, yeah.
The other thing that I always try to keep in perspective that really made me like want to work through the winter. You see all these people in Canada,
right?
And like Minnesota, yeah. And they're working straight through the winter, and they're like, "Hey, it's 8:30 a.m. I got another half hour of shoveling before I can like access anything."
Yeah, I'll always say it. We have very light winters. We're very fortunate. Yeah. We complain about the cold and stuff like that, but people do it. People go a lot harder.
I always complain about it when it's like, say 30 degrees, and then like there's people in Canada that are like, it's literally negative 30.
Yeah,
fine.
If it's like a low 20 with like a wind over 10 miles an hour, that's when it's going to be a long day.
Yeah,
and we maybe get that maybe a week out of a whole winter.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So hopefully it stays that way this year. We're not jinxing it, and it's not like blizzards or whatever, but I think we'll be all right.
I'm ready for it.
You ready?
I'm ready for it.
You ready?
I'm ready. Kind of.
It's okay.
I'll get ready.
Yeah, you got time to get ready. You need to invest in some more gear. Your gear in the winter is terrible.
No, my gear is fine.
Really?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I feel like you're just wearing like just jeans, nothing underneath jeans.
No, never. I always had base layers on.
Oh, okay.
And I always had my big old Carhartt jacket. It's my hands that get cold. That's my problem. I haven't found out.
Your little lady hands.
I haven't figured out good phalange coverage yet, but maybe this year.
What? Phalange coverage? What's that?
Or octopus?
Your fingers are your phalanges.
Okay. If you say so. You can always get those little hand warmers.
Yeah, I might have to invest in this. I'm also in the van most of the time, so I shouldn't really complain about being cold.
Put your hands like on the battery of your laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing does get cooking.
All right, so I think we talked about the winter. I'm excited. I'm actually excited to get into it. I think
it's humbling.
Yeah, no worse.
Work hard day in the winter and come home to a nice big bowl of chili.
Oh, that is nice, yeah.
Right? Come on.
I'll tell Sarah. You
take your socks off. They're steaming.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're sitting on the couch with your long johns on.
I actually like, I feel like it's the worst when I'm like half in the van, half out of the van.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely the worst. Because then it's like,
can't do that.
I'm not completely geared up for the cold because I'm like, I'm gonna be in the van half the day. And then like you pop out, it's freezing. Plus you've just been in the warmth. So like,
pay attention. I don't like go in my truck to eat lunch.
Yeah.
You don't want to warm up. Like, once you're cold, you're cold.
Yeah,
If you want to get warm again, then you're going to get cold again.
That's true, yeah. Just get cold once.
And that's it.
And that's it. Good point. All right, let's talk about how we are going to be more efficient and take things to the next level because I think we're ready to. I think it's been a long time coming. I think we've got a lot of room for improvement around.
We always do.
We always do, yeah. Exactly.
Our projects are just all right.
Yeah, they are. I think so. So, how we're going to be more efficient delegate duties a little bit more. And I guess, Ant, we'll start with you.
Me? Okay.
Yeah. So we talked about, and it's like, I've always kind of said, like, you're the boss on site.
Sure.
But I guess it just hasn't been like, we need to have a direct delineation between you being the one that calls all the shots and me being somebody that is just there to kind of help, because I think it's confusing to everybody else when they come to me in the van. They're like, hey, I just finished this. What do you want me to do next? And I say,
Well,
that's what I should say. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, oh, why don't you do this? But if I just continually say, I don't know, I'm not the one that's in charge of what's going on out there, then it's just like, when they're done something, they just know, only ask you. And that just keeps everything moving along a lot smoother, because you're out there all the time. You are the one that, like, you know, I'm not telling them to do something. You didn't hear what I told them to do. And then, like, you just see them doing something. If everyone is just directly reporting to you to figure out what to do next when they don't know, it keeps you in the right mindset of like, okay, this is how we're going to progress through this. And then we're just there to like help out as necessary.
Sure. I think for me, I knew this was going to happen eventually. It just, I don't think it's like a bad thing that it took as long as it did. It was more of like, I still feel like I need like one more year of working underneath of you to like really get like your mindset of how like you like these projects to like turn out to be. It was never like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Sean knows what he's doing. But it's like, what are the details that Sean likes? What are the what are the styles that Sean likes to do? To where once I start, all right, Sean likes to lay his decking like this. Sean likes to do his inlays like this. Sean likes to do his walls like this. Like, check, check, stairs, check, railings, check. Now it's like, oh, crap, we have roofs and all these other details, to where it's like, Sean, how do you want to do the ceiling? I'm not asking you because I don't know what to do. It's, what do you want to do with the ceiling?
Yeah.
What do you want? What is your vision of how you want this to look?
Yeah.
And I think I'm like just checking things off, and I'm at the point now to where maybe I have like 85% of the project figured out.
Yeah.
And then we'll slowly get to 100%. But
yeah,
I think now's a good time to just pass that baton, to where it's going to put more pressure on me, to where like, oh, Sean, how do you want to do this beam? Instead of asking that, I'm just going to do it how I want to do it.
Yeah.
And then when you come out and be like, okay, that works, then we can just move on.
Yeah. And I think there's always going to be an element of discussion of what we want to do. But I think we can get to a point where we're doing 90% of that, like before the project starts, and we're reviewing the plans and like really trying to, I think now that we've gotten a bunch of these under our belt with roofs and posts and beams and vaulted ceilings and all this kind of stuff, we can like really see those final details, and like we kind of know, okay, this spot, the side of the fireplace, like that's an area where like we have to make a decision on what that detail is. And you know, the first roof project that we did, it was kind of like, all right, especially for me, it was like, let's get into it, and then like we'll see what trim decisions we need to make, because like I could picture it, but you can't like really foresee all of those really, really fine details. I think now we're getting to the point where we're getting much better at that, and we know, okay, we want to have everything figured out so we don't get to a certain detail and it's like, all right, I don't know, I haven't thought about it at all. We want to make sure that everything's going in an order that leads to those final trim details being really easy.
Yep.
So I think we can get a little bit more dialed in and just be more efficient.
It's the name of the game.
Name of the game.
As
you
always,
you can never be the most efficient.
No, there's always room for improvement on that. And Catherine, what do you think is one thing that we can improve on as far as on the job site? You've been here for a year and a half, and you know, you see it. Mostly it's my deficiencies. What can we do? It's all. I know. It is. It really is.
No, I think it's just... go ahead. Finish your thought.
Nah, I didn't really have one, actually. Yeah. See, this is the problem. This is exactly the problem. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so number one, communication.
Yeah.
No, I think that there's lots of areas that we can get better in, and it's kind of, I think we're all just very comfortable working with each other, so it's kind of, we'll let things kind of slide by because it's, you know, it's like, oh, that's just Sean, or that's just Ant, you know, that's how they do things, or whatever. But I think we need to, if we get more defined roles and we really wrangle these things in, then, you know, it's just going to be more smooth sailing. Like the other day when I got in trouble because we did a, you went away for the weekend and I said I would post for the weekend. But you had the footage and you were posting the vlog. So I thought that you were still posting on Sunday. It was a miscommunication situation.
Yeah.
I got in trouble because I didn't post.
So, it's my job as the boss to sometimes.
Be the mean guy.
I got to
tear it into. So yeah, I think that just, I think
I would love to see how that went. Catherine, it's really disappointing.
Yeah, it was kind of like, Catherine, what happened with the post this weekend?
What it's happened? Okay,
that's exactly
Catherine.
How it was. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what you said.
Because it wasn't a big deal, but it was...
No, you were mad. You just don't know how to, like,
Yeah,
mad.
He was mad, and
I was not mad. I was
you were mad.
You're pissed.
You were so mad.
Look at you. You're getting all
I'm getting mad right now. Now I'm getting heated.
But yeah, it was a miscommunication thing, and I think that, like... Because we've worked together for so long, you always post for the vlog. So I assumed, like, oh, you have the footage, you always post for the vlog. But I said I would post for the weekend. So it was just a miscommunication.
Yeah.
I was used to a certain way. So I think we just need to get better at, like, doing that kind of stuff. So we're not either duplicating work or something's not getting done, which is, you know, we kind of fall into that pattern where we're either duplicating each other's work, which happens a lot, or... things get left undone because we
time.
Yeah,
there's some wasted time.
There is some wasted time, and yeah, I do think that is how we will get past stuff like that is by having more defined roles. So it's just like, you know, that's your job.
Exactly.
You have to do that. If you don't get it done, nobody's gonna get it done.
Yeah.
And I think for me it's hard because, like, I'm always like, okay, I'll just take this on. I'll just do this. I'll do this. Like, I can't expect everybody to, like, sometimes things just don't get done in a normal work day. So it's hard for me to be like, okay, you know, can you do that at night or over the weekend? It's like, all right, well, this just falls back on me. I'll do this. I'll do whatever. But I think we need to be more diligent about sticking to our defined roles, and then if there isn't enough time to do something, we need to just figure out a way to either, you know, get some things off of our plates or bring in some more help, whatever it is. I think the way that a lot of times I revert back to just like, all right, I'll just put this back on my plate, it's not sustainable. What do you think?
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to be the guy that does everything. Like, we all
work
here.
I sometimes like doing everything, though.
I know. You know? Like to withhold information so that we have to ask you things.
That's not purposeful.
That's 100% purposeful. Nothing gets you more excited than me knocking on the van door saying, Sean, I need you.
And I say, sorry, Catherine, Aunt needs me. I got to go. It does, feel
anymore.
Nice to be needed. Yeah.
Totally get that.
Hopefully it
does.
But
things shouldn't have to always fall back on you. There's enough of us that you shouldn't be responsible for, like,
and
everything.
It's just trusting one another.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for you as a boss, I can understand why you don't want to just put all these responsibilities in people's hands, because, like, this is your business that you built that you're like, they're just not going to do it the way I want them to do it. So I'm not going to have them do it. And I can understand that. I respect that. Like, if I would never hire you to do work on my house.
Yeah, of course not.
I just want to do it.
Yeah, it's just
one
of the.
I don't think you're capable of doing it. I just don't want you to do it.
It would take a really long time. And yeah. And then I would just bring you in to do it.
So these projects are like your house. So it's like hard for you to be like, oh, you know what, Catherine, why don't you start editing the videos? Or Anthony, why don't you make the decision of this detail? Like, it's a lot to, like, let go.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. You're right.
Man, I feel for you.
Yeah, this is turning into a therapy session.
It really is.
Okay, Sean?
I think so. I will cry afterwards, but I think I'm okay now. Yeah, I do think that it's... we've talked about that pretty extensively, especially with the content stuff and video editing. It's hard for me to, like... I've always done it.
Yeah.
And, like, especially if, like, I have something in my head, I'm like... Like, what if we just do this thing like this? And then I'm like, you want me to just, like, jump on there and, like, go? Yeah, just take 1 second. And I can tell that that's very annoying to Catherine. Sometimes me knowing that it's super annoying to her makes me refrain from doing it. Sometimes it doesn't. And I'm like, I don't care. Just let me jump in here. Just real quick. I'll show you how I want this. And
the best is when you tweak it back to where I originally had it. And you're like, okay, now it's perfect. And I'm like, that's exactly how I had it before.
That has never happened. It's always like a little bit different.
That is definitely
happened. I notice when you try to do it to me, and I always respond with, leave me alone.
And that works. Yeah.
I say, leave me alone.
Sometimes I need that. Sometimes I definitely need that. And it's just pushing me to be better if you tell me, leave me alone.
Yeah. We're making you sound like a micromanager right now. Yeah. And you aren't a micromanager. I don't want you to think that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I can be about.
You are. I'll say it. You do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
not
a
all the time.
I don't think it's a bad thing. Again,
it's like
I think
I'm a micromanager.
Yeah, when you micromanage, it's micro. But
like most things, I'm just like, okay, do whatever you want. Like, you know what to do. Just, I don't know, make a decision, do it. But then, like, if it's something that, like, I feel, like, really passionate one way or the other about, whether it's, like, how a video is edited or, like, how one tiny little, like, trim detail, then I might be, like, a micromanager of a micro detail.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. That's true.
I mean, I get that from you, but I just think it's the whole, like, letting go. Like
letting go is hard.
That's hard.
It is.
If I was a business owner and, like, I got to the point where I was like, man, like, I, like, or here we go, I would just do all the crumb molding in kitchens, right? Because nobody could do it as good as me. Not even the best guy. But then there's going to be a point where I'm like, man, I got to let Steve do the crown molding.
And Steve doesn't always do it sometimes.
And I'm going to watch him. I'm like, oh, Steve, you're not doing it right. But
let me get in there, Steve. Yeah, come on.
I get it. And I don't think it's micromanaging. It's just that, like, pulling the Band-Aid off. Just pull the Band-Aid off, turn around and walk away and just let it happen.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, you can have that little conversation of, hey, Steve, project looks great. I would maybe do X, Y, and Z a little bit different. But you got it. So now the next time, you don't even have to talk to him. And next thing you know, it's just like, boom, you're just flowing.
Steve's the dude.
Steve's the head guy.
Steve's the head guy before you know it. That's true. These are all things that I need to work on.
But I need to work on just, instead of like coming into a corner like, oh man, I don't know what to do. I don't want the responsibility of doing the wrong thing. So let me go to Sean and have Sean make that decision so I can just do it, to where I need to start putting that responsibility on and be like, you know what? I'm not going to ask Sean what he wants to do here. I'm going to do it this way and just see what happens.
Yeah. And I think you kind of get a sense of like when it's something that is like completely hasn't been talked about, and you get a sense of like, okay, Sean's going to like want something specific for this. Yeah. But most of the time that you're like, what do you want me to do for this? Well, I'll get out of the van, or maybe I'm already out of the van, and we'll look at it together, and I'll just be like, yeah, whatever, I don't know, whatever you want sounds good.
My goal is to stop those conversations.
Yeah, like, well, I would miss those conversations. I really would.
We can have those conversations at lunch or at the end of the day.
Just about other stuff. We can just talk about other stuff?
Yeah, okay. You want to talk about, you just want to become friends now?
I don't know. I don't know if I can handle that. Too much pressure. I think there's a lot. I always look at all the things that I'm doing wrong. That's just like kind of how I'm wired, I think. Like, I always look at everything as ultimately being my fault. So when there's a breakdown in communication or efficiency or something went wrong, like, ultimately, it's always my fault. And I need to, there's like a million things that I need to work on as being like a better boss or a better leader or a better communicator, all of these things. So, I think
this is a good conversation. This is, a good...
It's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Jumping off point.
I don't want to jump.
Good intermission? Good segue?
I just think it's a good...
good fork in the road?
Okay.
Good launch pad? Into a better thing?
I like launch pad,
like you're having like a moment?
I'm having a moment for sure. I did request to be in the center, and I'm regretting that because I feel like I'm just being
ganged. You're in the hot seat now.
I feel like I'm in the hot seat.
Smacked from both sides.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've come at you enough, Sean. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's
all right, bud. let's transition a little bit. So how do we? Okay. So now is like a good point because we're in between jobs right now. We're about to start a new job. So how are we going to implement these new roles that we're talking about into the next job? This is like a perfect start fresh moment.
It is, and I do have a plan for that.
You do?
I do, yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Or do you need to ask for it?
You need to ask for it right now, but Catherine just did, so thank you. Well, no, I told you, like, hey, you're going to look at the plans. Yep. You're going to do the material takeoff. We've already done it for all of the deck framing, but we need to do it for the roof framing, roof sheathing, all the decking, all the trim, all of that kind of stuff. Okay. So I think that's just a good way for you to be basically like building it in your head already. So that is going to like bring up all of those questions of, okay, what's this detail? Because you're going to need to figure out a material list. And with a job like this, like we probably won't nail the material list, like every single little detail, but we're going to get enough to get really far into the job, and then we can maybe make an assessment of, okay, how many 1x4s do we need for this? How many of this? So for you, I think that's going to be like a really good way for you to be involved with it in your head.
And it also helps out with like when, like if I just walked into the backyard and saw all this material, I'm like, Sean, what is it for?
Deck.
Yeah. I know, but like what are, like you know what I'm getting at. Like what are the 1x10 fours? Why do we have all these 1x or 2x6s and stuff like that?
And I think one of the most confusing things, and that's why I put into the drive when I did the treated order that
kind of label it.
Yeah, so it's like 2x10 20s. These are for beams.
Sure.
2x10 16s are for this area. So that you kind of know, because a lot of times if you don't label that stuff, you might pull a 2x10 20 for something that maybe you could have framed a different way with a 16, and now we needed that 20 for something else. So it kind of eliminates that and just gives you something to reference so you know kind of what the plan is and what material is there for what.
I'm about it.
So you think that's going to work out pretty good?
Yeah, I don't see no issues. I think the biggest... I don't know, I won't say wrinkle or anything about that, is the conversation you and I have about the details. Like you said, we got to talk about those details. We got to get them figured out, like, kind of before we start.
Yeah.
So I know, like, what material we're wrapping a beam in, what material we're putting on the ceiling. Are we doing a seam with another faux beam? Like, all that stuff. So, it's good.
Absolutely. And Catherine.
Yeah.
Your tasks. What do you got for me?
This was your question.
Oh, it was my question.
What do you have for me?
What do I have for you? So, I think that is, that's I feel like less job by job specific, because we're handling like a lot of stuff that is, you know, kind of unrelated to the exact task on hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With content stuff, but I think we've made a lot of progress in that with, like, Mondays being the day that you just sit and edit all the stuff for the podcast. So, you know, you're going to make all the clips for the podcast. You're going to upload it to YouTube.
Yeah.
Still a little behind on that.
Yeah.
That's all right. You'll get caught up on that today. Just going to get caught up on that today. And, you know, having that kind of set out, like, as block scheduling for the week, I think that's something that we both need to work through a little bit more. Like, I feel like Mondays are like really fine tuned right now. You do all of the editing for the podcast, get it scheduled into the social media scheduler. So by the end of the day, Monday, everything for the Hardworking Happy Hour is just on autopilot. It's going to post everything. That's good to go. I think what do you feel like are some other like pain points that we need to work through or delineate? Like, this is your job, this is my job, I'll do this, make sure you focus on that.
Be honest, give it to
him. Be honest. You guys already laid into me, just come on, keep going.
No, I mean, it just comes down to those, like, those tasks, like who's posting on when, and if we, like, you know, we shouldn't be doubling up effort, or like who's, like, right now, we're not going to... This week is going to be a tough content week. Like, how are we going to get that content? Whose responsibility is it to come up with content? Yeah. Are we posting throwbacks? Are we posting... Are we trying to come up with new stuff? Which I feel like makes it kind of hard to come up with defined roles, because those things kind of do happen.
There's a lot of stuff that's in flux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but beyond that, I think, yeah, like who deals with the different people that we deal with, who deals with, I mean, I deal with the inquiries, but then beyond that, who deals with the customer?
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be like a work through it in progress thing. Like as maybe like as these things come up, then we put them into defined roles because it's kind of hard to think everything's like ambiguous right now.
Yeah.
Kind of. So as these things come up, then we'll kind of put them in a category. Maybe come up with like categories, put things in categories as they come up.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I really want to like in the office side of it or the content side of it, one of the things I really want to get better at is defining more of like those block scheduling things that we can do. Like I love how Mondays is just like we know what needs to get done by the end of the day. Boom, we get that done. I think we can get way better at that, especially, you know, once we get a videographer on board, like having Tuesday and Thursday, like we're in the field, we're working all day and having all of these things kind of like set up. So we don't have that like morning kind of like head scratcher, like, okay, what are the things that we need to do today? The more that we can eliminate that, I think for me especially is going to be way better because if I don't have like a definitive plan, it takes me a while to like get geared up and get going because I'm kind of like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. What's most important? You know, what do I need to do today? What can wait till tomorrow? So the more stuff that can just be designated for a certain day, I think is going to be super helpful to me. And I think it'll just help both of us be more efficient. What do you think?
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
block scheduling. Love that.
Yeah. What do you think, Ant?
I'm about it.
You're about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's, yeah, I mean, I think we need to look at it a little bit more like we look at the job. Like, these are, the job starts here with our foundation and our footings. And these are all the elements and stages that go into it. I think we can get better at looking at the content that goes alongside that and all of the scheduling with deliveries. And we have made a lot of headway on that. But, you know, I think there's still things that we can fine tune and get better at.
Oh, absolutely.
Always.
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 Always things we can get better
Always.
At.
Never settle.
Never settle. That's Pearlwood's tagline.
Oh, word.
Pearlwood, never settle.
Love it.
Yeah. So I think we're on a good track.
Yeah.
I think this next job and the previous job went really smooth.
Went very well.
Went really smooth. So I think we're getting there. And I think the, like you said, the best thing for you is like starting to really know, like, okay, I know that Sean's definitely going to want to have a talk about this detail because this is probably going to be really important to him. Or, hey, this is, I'm just going to do it this way.
I'm going to make a call and go for it.
So I think we're working through it. I think still a lot to get better at.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's enough of that.
I think so, too. That was some heavy stuff. You guys really came at me pretty hard, but I do appreciate it. And
it's all about learning and growing.
I'm always welcome. I have an open door policy. There's not even a door in between me and you and the van. So, like, you don't even have to knock on a door.
Yeah.
And you can always come into the van whenever I'm not out there with you. And lay into me.
Sure.
I take it pretty well.
You do.
I never get mad.
No.
Except, when do I get mad?
When, like, the timeline or GoPros aren't turned on.
Yeah. Like, when somebody did a bunch of stuff and nobody turned on the camera. Then I get really mad because you can't get that back. You
can't get it back.
If you make a huge mistake, like, okay, we could just take it down and redo it. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
If we miss that time-lapse footage, I get pretty upset.
Yeah.
I do. So
angry.
That's true.
I think that can actually be something that maybe we delegate to Tom. Like, Tom, part of your morning routine, you make sure that these GoPros are going. You move on to something else. Move it. Make sure that it's going at all times of the day.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I like that because that is one of the tasks that we double up on. Like, sometimes,
we do.
You know,
kind of. One of us are
doing
cheddar.
It or, like.
Yeah. It's true. That's what it's all about in the end.
Yeah.
It's all anybody cares about.
All right. Well, anyway, chatter. Let's move to the secret question.
Okay.
This is going to be fun. We have a guest. Question?
Yeah. You haven't listened to the podcast in a while.
I haven't.
And you haven't been on it in a while. We didn't do a secret question.
I didn't know we even had a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a secret. So.
Welcome.
All right. What do we got?
All right. Secret question. I can't remember if I had this in my mind because I already asked it last week, or if I've just been thinking about it for a while. But
okay. Go ahead.
Let me know if I already asked this.
Okay.
No, I did already ask this.
What is it?
Never mind. No, I'm not going to ask it because I
already
asked it last
week. Well, just say what it was. Then it was already on.
What country would you move to based on the cuisine? That was last week.
Yeah, that was.
What?
The cuisine.
The cuisine.
Oh, the cuisine.
I said France.
Really?
Yeah, because French fries.
Something else. You know, French fries aren't even made in France.
No.
They're made in Greece.
Yeah. You told me that one before. That's a good one.
That is a good one. All right, what's your secret question? I'll take a second to think of a real one.
My secret question?
I know you prepared for this. I know you thought about this.
Of course I did, yeah.
And I know you're
extensively.
Ready.
Extensively. Okay, I guess I'll start with Ant.
Okay.
Anthony.
Yes.
You could do any other trade within the trades.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, you can't be a carpenter anymore. Which one are you going for?
I'm probably going to be an architect.
No, that's out of the tree. You got to be like belt on.
Belt something. On?
Belt on.
And if anyone's going to be the architect, it's going to be me.
Belt on, I'd probably be an electrician.
Sparky. Why? Just because like it's easy?
No, disrespect to the electrical field. They obviously do a very important role.
Yeah.
But I just walk around and just like tie some wires together, make a mess, and leave.
Yeah. And they always have like that really tiny little like side
little
pocket
belt. Yeah, it's got like four tools in it.
Yep. And they're just good to go.
And they're like the most, like, I don't know, they're like the big bad, they're like big smart guys on the job site.
Yeah.
Everybody. I do like it when they make the stuff look really nice and pretty.
Yeah, and the straight line.
Yeah.
Our old electrician didn't do that, but the new one, he seems to. I really like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you really, tidy up all your wires.
But don't get me wrong. Sometimes, they got to crawl under the deck. They got to dig a trench. Like, there's some tough times, but I don't know. I think, like, on a final, hooking up ceiling fans, putting in outlets,
putting in those little
cover plates. Yeah. It's like, to me, it's like therapeutic.
Yeah. And that's really like when the project comes together. Like, even if all the carpentry's done, it's like, all right, we got no lights. We got no outlets. We got nothing.
I want a TV up there. Come on,
exactly.
Let's go.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That does get a lot of glory.
Yeah, be an electrician.
All right, Catherine, what would you be?
I think I'm going diesel mechanic.
Diesel mechanic? Okay. Random. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Why?
No, I've been working on my own my boat engine for a little bit now, and the more I learn, the more it just like makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I look at them thinking like, oh, they're so complicated and like crazy, and I'd never understand it. But like, the more you're in there, the more you learn. And I don't think it's that. I mean, not to say it's not complicated because it is, but I feel like I could get the hang of it. So I'm going diesel mechanic, and they're like in demand. That's definitely a dying trade. Like, it's so hard to find a good diesel mechanic now. So I'm going diesel mechanic.
Diesel mechanic. Okay.
Think about it. When we were trying to fix the dingo, who did we call?
Myself.
Exactly. We couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
Still not totally fixed, but we're like eliminating so many things that it's not. So we're getting really close.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
And what about you? What trade would you go to?
I think I would go HVAC.
HVAC? Okay. Yeah.
Because, temperature just like affects people's mood so much. Why not be the person that
You're
makes it
the good guy.
So
Set the
comfortable?
Mood.
Yeah. You know? A really nice balanced heating and cooling system, I think, is that's like kind of an art. You know, you need to do calculations on all that kind of stuff. Because in my house, it's like, all right, if we turn the heat up to this, it's going to be freezing in this room, but it's going to be like a zillion degrees in that room. So somebody didn't do a very good job at my house, and I feel like it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
I do like that.
Hey, you got a secret question?
Secret question? Oh, do we all ask everybody one?
Everybody asks, yeah. And then you have to answer it yourself.
Then I have to answer it myself? Mm-hmm. If... No, I don't really have one. I usually like these games, but I don't have one. If you could be an article of clothing, what would you be?
That's... I would say like I would be like a snarky T-shirt,
okay,
like something that says something on it, like the one we saw in Vegas, "Fart now loading."
Okay,
I would be like that shirt.
Oh God!
What about you, Catherine? Such a random question.
I'm gonna go like a nice, comfortable, reliable pair of shoes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm probably gonna go nice pair of sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A little accessory action.
Well, it's like you're like the window of the soul. Like,
yeah, you're covering up the window of the soul.
Yeah.
That's why I always wear sunglasses. Uh-huh. I don't want anybody to know what's going on. Keep them on their toes.
People put them on and they feel like you're another person. You're ready to go.
It's true.
That's why I have mine on now.
There you go.
I got to be in podcast role.
Yeah. Podcast Tony always wears his sunglasses. All right. Catherine, what's your question?
If you had to build a house,
yes.
It can be a basic house. You have one tool. What are you using?
One what?
One tool.
One tool?
You have one tool. Let's say you're in some sort of competition. You're only granted one tool. What are you using?
Hatchet.
Okay.
Because, like, I feel like that's the only, thing I've seen, like, people out in the woods building stuff. Like, they'll chop down the tree, and then, like, the other end of the hatchet is kind of a hammer. You know, you could make, like, little dowels, so you know... I feel like that's the only one that's really possible with.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm thinking, like, a tape measure, because, like, you need to know how big
it is. No. Because then you just go, like,
you eyeball that.
Plus a little bit.
Definitely eyeball that.
Yeah.
Caulk gun.
Caulk gun. Yeah, you're probably going to need it. That's a good one. All right, Catherine, what do you got?
I'm going my Wizzy, my trustful.
Wizz roller, okay, because it's all about, you know, that nice finish.
I always carry a Wizz roller on my tool belt, and it's never done me wrong. Never used it, but
okay.
Go Wizz roller. No,
you can't say Wizz roller. You gotta say something else.
Okay. No, I mean I'd probably say a hatchet, I guess, because that's like it's like a hammer and a cutting tool.
Yeah, it's like two tools in one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for this episode. We didn't get too squirrely, which is great. But thanks for coming on, Anthony.
I appreciate it.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
So, till next time. This has been the Hardworking Happy Hour.
See you next week. Finger guns.